Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena
and Karen.
Hey, guys, it's spring.
Yay! I hope there's a spring in your step.
Yes, because we're going to be talking about lawn-free gardens. Yeah. So instead of grass, what are we going to be growing, Karen?
Oh, I've got some great tips for the listeners today, Selena. And the reason why I picked this topic was because, you know, it's springtime, everything's starting to grow, lawns included. And sometimes, you know, your lawns are just at their length when you just can't be bothered. You have the least energy for it, and it's like, the lawns need doing. Every now and then you're like, yes, I'm up for it.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, why not embrace the lawn-free garden?
Yes, and have a bit of peace and quiet instead of a,
I don't mind the sound of lawnmowers. It's just sometimes I can't be stuffed. And we've got quite a lot of lawn.
Okay.
So it's like a full day mission. There's the front lawn, the side lawn, and the back lawn. So I break it up into morning, midday, and, you know, so
it's pushing it and collecting
it. So it's like, and then people go, oh, do you want to go for lunch? And I'm like, oh,
I've got to do the lawn.
That's my side lawn pay. I found some really useful tips, actually. And the other thing is a lot of people's yards are a lot smaller as well. So,
you know,
sometimes you've got to make that decision. Do I want a lawn or do I want a deck? Or, you know, so let's, and you, of course, are going to talk about, I'm really pleased, your plant of the week.
Yes.
You can give it away.
Okay. Yeah, go on. Oh, listeners, it's going to be the lovely camellia, which is flowering right
classic.
Now.
A classic.
That will be.
Oh, it's so, but that is one plant or shrub. What? How would you define that?
It's a shrub, but it can be a tree.
They can get to that size if you, So a great addition to a garden that doesn't have a lawn, in my opinion, and we'll get into that. So let's start. Now, the first kind of approach you can have is using pebbles and mulch. So you use pebbles as a ground cover, and this can look really fantastic, and you don't even need to give it much love and care. And I know it just sounds like pebbles, but yeah, okay. And get nice pebbles. Spend a bit of money. Like on those nice, those little, the lake pebbles.
The smooth ones
you can walk on.
Yes.
Those are nice. They're so nice underfoot.
And massage your feet.
There's gardens that
have little paths, and you can make sort of mosaic.
Well, if you want, you can get leave the rake out there. Why not? Where was I going to go with that? Oh, would you recommend? I'm never sure about this. Most people say put weed mat under the pebbles. So weed mat is like a plasticky. It would be plastic usually. I just find weed mats in time are a waste of time.
It deteriorates and then it suffocates the soil, and when it rains it will pull, and I don't know.
I just find them more of it. If you decide, in amongst your pebbles, I want to
put something in
a camellia, for instance, and then you have to dig through this blooming mat. And then it ends up with holes everywhere and little weeds. Weeds always seem to find a way to get in time. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, well, if you just keep it managed right from the start.
I find it's more trouble than it's worth.
I personally do too. Oh, I feel like we could get some troubling emails after this episode. But, yeah, I'm the same on that. And I thought, great concept, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, 5-10 years
you've
down the track, you're like, you're just ripping this stuff out.
No.
Yeah. So just add a little greenery and simply let nature take its course. But it's recommended to use drought-tolerant plants with a good amount of mulch to keep them fed.
Okay.
So that's why this particular part is called pebbles and mulch.
Oh, right. And as for mulch, you're meaning, aside from pebbles, what would you use?
I would just use like a bark, like a woody kind of mulch.
Like a pine bark or?
Yeah, anything. Anything you can get your hands on. That's how
seaweed?
I roll.
Seaweed?
Maybe not too much seaweed, because I've been tending to put a little bit too much seaweed on some of my plants and they don't like it.
Oh, okay.
They're a bit sensitive. What, would the camellia cope with, say, if we're looking to put a shrub in amongst the pebbles and it's a camellia?
Yep. My one is in amongst a pebbly type area. So it's tough.
To acquire a backyard oasis that doesn't feel too untamed, it is recommended to group your plants in large clump-like groupings. So rather than just have a shrub there, tree there, patch there, group them and have a little think about it. You know, jot some ideas down on your jotter pad and say, could you have a clump of camellias?
What effect you're after, and well, I suppose if you're doing a hedge,
So just think a little bit about grouping plants together, so that it's easier to maintain the pebbles and maintain the plant, and it looks a little more groomed.
Yes,
you know, that's just a little.
A little designer rule of thumb is have groups of three, like three types of plants, like a triad or a trio.
Oh, okay.
And have them at different heights, just to give it a bit of interest. It's not all the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The next thing you can do, the next part of my discussion is called climbers and creepers.
Yes.
And so, for instance, if you had a pergola, you could drape it in the climber, for instance, Virginia creeper. Have you heard of that?
I think it's
got a purple flower, if I recall from the picture. That apparently can really, you know, droop nicely over a, you know, frame or a structure. And it can also enhance a paved area. So if you have a little bit of paving, you know, in amongst your plants, that's a good one. Virginia creeper. Can you get that? It sounds American. Can you get that here?
Maybe I'm thinking of the Boston creeper. Is it the deciduous that turns, the leaves turn red?
I don't know much about it. I just, that was just a recommendation from this guy.
The plant we had last week, star jasmine, makes a good...
Yeah, that's a good one.
...climber and ground cover.
Yeah.
If you keep it clipped back, it's been used a lot. And you can train it to, like, grow up wires, so in crisscross patterns.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I've seen that one used quite a bit.
And mass plantings of the Liriope muscari royal purple.
Ooh.
Purple seems to be this author's favourite colour, which is fine.
Oh.
I'm cool with purple.
Which author is this? The Lawn Free Garden book?
Yeah, it was online, actually, and I suspect it was American, but he mentioned a New Zealand and Australian native, which I'll come to, so maybe not.
Just the thing with Liriope is when the flowers die down, you might want to deadhead them, like cut them off, because they look a bit... They grow into little berries after they flowered, and they can look a bit raggedy.
Yeah, and that's easy enough done.
That's a fun job.
Less than an hour. Just clip, chuck it in the rubbish if you can't be bothered composting. Easy.
Yeah.
And that can just add a softening touch around your pavement edging. So that's an easy one. The other one I've already touched on a bit, shrubs and trees. They can help define a yard, and the formula is simple. Taper plants in, height from tall to short, stretching from the boundary of your property to the edge of the zone you're wishing to frame.
Okay.
So say you imagine you've got a patio or something like that. Yeah. You've got a little bit of space or a big bit beyond that. So you this is their recommendation. You put the tall ones around the boundary line and then sort of taper downwards.
Yeah.
I could do that actually on my property because it goes up towards the boundary. Oh, but then at the same time, I like to see the sky and the horizon. So I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe still leave patches of sky. Oh, but my yard is very patchy, really. I mean, I don't think it's
mine is your sort of bog standard square section.
That would look good.
And basically it's a square with border around the edges, and that's the garden. And then at the front there's a bit more beds around the edges.
So you've kind of done that then?
Kind of, but at the front I've got hedges rather than yeah. plants.
But that's more of your father's taste.
Oh, actually, my brother's.
Yeah, your brother's taste, yeah, which is fine. Every, you know.
It kind of works.
Communal ideas. I think it looks fine.
English type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Local species are easiest to grow and less prone to disease. So ask your local centre about hardy shrubs and trees. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And replacing your lawn with a variety of shrubs and trees is actually a gift to the wildlife.
Yes.
Because you're providing shelter and helping bee populations bounce back.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that.
And by letting maybe your ground covers flower, which you can't really don't do with grass, you're inviting the good beneficial insects.
I'm going to come to ground covers. Let's just discuss the edibles first. If you like homegrown produce, you can always replace your lawn with garden beds, fruit, herbs, vegetables.
Great idea, because often
amongst pebbles, if you so wished.
The lawn is in the sunniest spot in the garden, which is perfect for growing vegetables.
Yep. And don't forget, if you are going to go for the edibles, flowering plants are a good choice as well as these, because they will attract the pollinating insects.
Yeah.
So,
have some flowers in amongst
your... flowers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the ground covers. Low-growing plants, generally, if you... Yeah, they... Sometimes they... I've noticed, like that... what's the one you've got? Calendula. No, not calendula. Chamomile.
Yes.
That can get... like kind of bushy-ish.
It can grow up when it wants to flower, but then you just cut them and
just cut the flowers
back to a little nice scented ground cover.
They're handy little helpers, ground covers, for choking out weeds. Expect to do a little weeding initially, particularly in the first year if you're going to go for that. And don't, like you just said, don't be afraid to choose flowering varieties.
Mm.
All you need to do is chop the flowers off and, oh, what a shame, get to put them in a vase or dry them, you know. Yeah. Except with the chamomile, you need to catch them before their little dainty little petals drop off.
Yes.
Yeah. A recommendation from this guy. Sorry, I cannot remember his name. Sorry, guys. I should have made note of that. Kidney weed.
I've not...
He said it's a spreading perennial native... I'm assuming it's a he... It was one of those funny... spreading perennial native to Australia and New Zealand and can grow in full sun or part shade.
I'm thinking he might be referring to dichondra. Is that...
That's ring a shape, that shape like a little kidney.
Yeah.
And it's a ground cover.
Although I think it does better in the shady areas, that particular one.
It says this works wonderfully as a lawn substitute in areas that don't get too much traffic.
Okay.
Another useful cover, ajuga, also known as bugle weed.
Yep.
It's a member of the mint family.
Very well.
And shady spots, apparently.
Yep.
So if down the side of the house or something like that, where you're saying, oh, I can't be bothered mowing the lawn down there, what a waste, you could chuck in some bugle weed.
Yeah.
Does it look like a bugle?
Yes, it's got a purpley flower.
Oh!
And the leaves are kind of purpley, and it spreads by, like, stolons, which run along the ground, so... when you have a couple, it'll just make a big mat. Very good one.
Okay.
It's quite tough and it'll smother all the weeds.
Yeah.
It makes a great carpet. Can I add a few?
Yeah, of course.
So Freyasia is a New Zealand native one that might do well in a shady spot, and it got little pretty blue or white flowers.
Oh, nice.
And it's very low to the ground. It's a creeping type one.
Yeah.
The other one is Leptonella, which is like little ferny leaves, but it also spreads along the ground, and it's great because I've got it in mine, and it just has a wonderful, like, carpety feel, like a shady rug kind of.
Oh, nice. And that's in a shady area.
Kind of half in shade, half in sun. It'll go sort of yellow if it's in the sun, sort of.
Yeah, that's the thing, like with grass, the reason why it's good. I like lawns. Don't get me wrong. I love a nice, beautiful, well-maintained lawn, well-manicured.
Yeah.
But they're easy to grow in sun. Like, yeah. I mean, I've had to water mine. The last few summers I've actually had to water it because it turned brown.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll tell you some good ones for the sunnier spots. Mm. Thyme.
Oh.
You can get the creeping variety.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes. What else? There's one called Snow in Summer. And it's a silvery leaf carpety type, and it has like snowy white flowers, and that would probably do well in the sunnier spots, and it spreads for ages.
Oh, awesome.
Didn't do so well in my garden because I didn't have the sunnier spot to put it in. But if I maybe removed some of the lawn.
Yes, maybe you could sneakily slip a few little... like when you get that machine that digs out the little hole and then you can just discreetly... I wonder if your dad would know. Her dad takes amazing... I mean, your lawns look beautiful.
I've got my eye on a little corner patch by the garage that... is just a little grass, and I sort of suggested to Dad, hey, could I plant this up? And he was like, oh, no. I think he likes his...
He likes,
doing the lawn.
Yeah, I think it's like maybe that generation, because Pierre was saying his dad, he remembers him spending hours out there just like...
I think it's just a way to get out of the house.
Yeah, maybe.
And because it's noisy, no one can yell at you.
Yeah, it's nice being on the lawn, so yeah. Oh. And one last thing, I guess, before we crack into the... Unless you had anything else, of course. Was a dog-proof yard. So if you have dogs that are ripping up your yard and you're constantly trying to restore your lawn as a result, try this. Opt to replace your lawn with large beds of Liriope Muscari Big Blue, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is one such solution. This plant is a large, clumping, tuberous perennial, also known as lily turf, and is renowned for doing well in dry, shady areas.
Yeah.
So you won't need to constantly hose it, which is awesome. Clumps of the lily turf can be divided in autumn after they've flowered and can be planted elsewhere. So if you wanted to spend a bit of time splitting it and... Yeah, replanting it, you can do that.
It makes a good edging too. So,
Well, this picture I've got of this dog-proof yard, the whole lawn was just it was just full of this.
It looks pretty cool.
Muscari, yeah. I mean, some people would, traditionalists might walk past and go, my God, they've let that place go. But I didn't see that at all. I just saw an interesting yard, not too much maintenance required.
Yeah. Kind of like mondo grass, but mondo grass doesn't have the nice flower.
Yeah.
And it can get a bit raggedy if... Yeah. I think lily turf is a bit tougher.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, these people in this picture had two large dogs, so they would probably... Is it this type of big blue? Have you heard of that? Muscari?
It's probably a cultivar.
Yeah.
It's more purpley colour.
Yeah. The flowers were. Do these sorts of flowers, I think of, what's that awful one that's growing everywhere with the purple flowers?
Agapanthus.
Agapanthus. I keep thinking of them because it looks similar, but they're so slimy when you... cut them. That's not something I would want in my yard, although it would grow well.
Yeah, no. The leaves aren't, you'd cut them, they're not slimy.
Okay. because I thought, dogs wouldn't want to, hang on, maybe they would.
Agapanthus.
I'm used to cats, not dogs, and cats would go, sticky. No. Dogs probably go, who cares, I'm going to roll it. No.
I have seen agapanthus used as one of my neighbours has it on their berm, completely. They do not have grass at all. But the thing is, they kind of let it go and don't deadhead it, and it looks kind of not very attractive.
No. Is there kaikoura grass growing up through it and all that?
They don't really weed it that often, so Maybe the gaps between them are too big.
Yeah.
I think Agapanthus is all right on like a slopey bank.
Oh, it could work maybe if they maintained it.
Yeah.
And just gave it maybe a little bit of food and just really got it dense.
Yeah.
And of course, deadheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're better on a bank and rather than the flat part. But nothing against Agapanthus itself. Like, the flowers are lovely. I mean...
Yeah.
A lot of people would pay mega bucks for those in other countries.
I don't know. Two minds about that one. It's just like they're a pain when you're trying to grow something else. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
That's why I thought if you had it wanting to take up your berm. Yeah. And that's why the council uses them on the side of the motorways and all that, because they are tough.
Yeah.
And you can basically, they'll just go for it. Like, let nature do its thing. Way you go.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay. So that's all my lot, unless you had any other ideas to throw in the mix.
There's one ivy as a ground cover, but you have to keep an eye on it. Some people use that as a when it's like a slopey or a shady.
Yeah.
But I guess lawns are mostly on the flat sunny areas, so
we're from New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's like 50-50.
Yeah, the alternative is a wildflower garden where you just mow a strip, seed it all with wildflowers and then just mow a path through it.
Of course.
But I haven't seen that done in a lot of places, so unless you have a big field, I'm not sure how.
You tried doing that last summer. How did it work?
Well, I tried to do some poppies.
Yeah.
But my dad he left it on the mower on high, but I think he didn't really give it a chance to get established.
Because I have seen them along in the middle of the motorway down south, and they look amazing, but I don't know how much care's been put into them. So give us some feedback on that one if you can, guys. All right, well, I think it's time for Plant of the Week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower. Here's the
All right,
the
our plant of the week is camellia. And I've chosen camellia because it is flowering now. Well, my one is anyway.
I can see that. Selena gave me a beautiful, what would you call that colour? Crimson?
Yeah, crimsony red.
Reddish. Oh, it's so stunning. Perfect flower.
I just think the shape of them is lovely.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a rose, but roses tend to go all a bit blousy, but they're perfectly shaped.
Yeah.
Not so much scented, but, and the leaves are always nice and shiny green. Yeah. Just perfect.
And what other colours can you have?
You can have white ones and pink ones. You can even have white and pink ones because they can be flecked. So some have been hybridised to produce that type of flower.
Okay.
They are a symbol of women's suffrage, did you know?
No.
The white one, apparently.
Yeah.
Women's
suffrage, is that like a global thing?
When women had the vote, they wore like camellias to symbolise, like we have Daffodil Day and Anzac,
okay.
poppies and things. So that was meant to be a symbol of women's suffrage. Not sure why, maybe it's just a lovely flower at the time
why
they wanted
not?
Something.
Yeah.
They're originally native to China and Japan.
Oh, right.
So they're from Asia. They love acid soil.
Oh, yes, I've heard that, yeah.
And in Auckland particularly, our soils tend to be acidic. So they actually do really well here. And they like our climate because it's quite nice and humid for them.
Do you reckon, like, if you... I'm thinking lemons at the moment because I've just, like, raided my lemon tree before I came. If you just chucked a couple of lemons that you didn't need or were a bit soft... underneath your camellia over time.
I haven't tried
that.
Could give it a trick. Yeah. They like it moist, so they got shallow roots, so they like mulch and sort of plant them in a semi shady area. I don't think they like too much sun directly on them because it would burn the flowers and leaves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they can tolerate it. It's very easy care plant. They make great hedges. And you can grow them as a shrub, or they will eventually grow into trees if you shape them up. Like if you prune them, you can espalier them. And they make quite a nice tree.
Oh.
If you make the get the trunk going.
Yeah. How big a tree? How
they
big
can actually
them?
Get quite tall. So I've seen some very old ones that you like as a tree.
Wow.
Like you can walk under them. So
cool.
When they are in flower and then all the petals drop, they make a nice carpet.
Yeah.
So if you've got the lovely pink ones, you'll have a nice pink carpet.
And you can use that as mulch too if you wanted to gather them up and just put them around the trunk or whatever.
Yeah. Did you know that some varieties of camellia are used as tea?
No. So never heard of camellia tea.
Camellia sinensis is actually the Chinese the plant they use for tea. And the reason why we've got camellia flower is that one, that variety is more for the flowers. But they are British when they went over to China to get the plants. As you know, they plant hunted and wanted everything.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually after the tea plant, but they came away with a different variety of the flowering plant. They couldn't use it for tea because it tastes different.
Yeah.
So they ended up with the ornamental variety instead of the one they were after.
Yes.
But the tea one is just as nice a flower. It's just not, I guess, as attractive flower as the ones we know as the ornamental. So there's a few different types of ornamental ones. Camellia sasanqua is the one to look for, the nice little flower, but there's also Camellia japonica, which has a bigger flower, and Camellia reticulata, which is also kind of a more roughly looking flower, more ruffled petals.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Have they got a good selection down at the store? Usually of camellia?
Usually
it's quite
they
a popular
do.
Plant,
yeah,
eh?
See them when they're flowering. And if you're going to use them for a hedge, get sort of the same variety.
Okay.
So that it's sort of a uniform hedge.
Yeah.
And there are two standout cultivars that people tend to use when they're making a hedge in Auckland anyway. The recommended ones are Setsugeka, which is a white flower, and Nikki Crisp, which is a pink flower.
Okay.
So those are the sort of the names to look out for. But if you're shopping for camellias, you have an eye and you want to see them, well, you make your choice. I mean, I'm just recommending.
And what would you know?
Oh, I know. I'm just... And they actually do well in pots too.
I mean that as a compliment, Selena. You do know. I listen to you sometimes.
Okay. they can make a good pot plant too because they're quite shallow-rooted and they will be quite happy in a pot. And you could sort of bonsai them if you really wanted to.
Okay. That sounds cute.
And one more thing is... some varieties are prostrate, so as you're thinking of, like, they grow along the ground, so they make a good ground cover.
Oh, yeah.
So you look out for those.
So you could tape you a whole garden with camellia.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's our camellias.
Oh, awesome, Selena. Thanks for sharing that. I know a little bit more about a plant that is pretty common. But it's got a lot of uses. I will have a look at the out for teas, maybe at the local Chinese grocer.
Excellent.
Yeah,
yes.
Thanks.
Okay, that's pretty much all we have time for.
Yep.
But
hope you guys learnt something.
I'm going to be cutting more camellias and giving them to people.
And, go hard. Go dig out your lawn. Don't be... don't hold back. See you later.
Stay safe, everyone. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
language.